Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Local Voter Education Program, where we share information and updates about our city that has a direct effect on us. Local Voter Education Group is asking for your help to be more than an information source by challenging issues in the local system that does not support us, the people. The first challenge is to move the public presentations from the bottom of the city council agenda to the top like other cities. This would be a start, putting the people back on top, where we were in the beginning. Just contact our council members and insisted that the public presentation should be on top of the city council agenda. And now, here's your host, James McBride.
How you doing, folks? And welcome to another live edition of the Local Voter Education Podcast here Sunday evenings from 8 to 9 on blogtalkradio.com. In addition, you can also find this podcast at fwdistrict5.com. My name is James H. McBride. I'm your host again tonight, coming to you from District 4's Carter Riverside. Riding shotgun with me is Bob Willoughby out of District 5. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, just the same. Hanging in there.
All right, good. I want to let everybody know, if you want to call in and talk about the topic we have tonight on the podcast, it is group homes in the city of Fort Worth. You can always call 515-602-9610. Press number 1 to get into queue. Again, that number is 515-602-9610. To lead off the podcast here tonight, we usually talk about the agenda that's coming up for the upcoming city council meeting. This Tuesday at 3 p.m., there will not be a city council meeting because it will be in the swearing in of the new look council that Fort Worth will be having going forward for the next 2 years. Bob, I want to bring you on here. You said you've got a lot of information that was coming into you from the Nextdoor app about group homes and everything. You want to talk about that with the people?
Well, we can talk a little bit here about that. Yeah, that's what maybe put this on our agenda here, was some of the call-ins and stuff that things that came in on Nextdoor. I was surprised how many we had in the neighborhoods here, and not all group homes are bad, but some are, and the thing is that, well, after what you told me earlier, James, this is more of a state issue than a city issue, and what we're trying to do on local education, more or less work here on what we can work on, but it doesn't hurt to be aware it's in your neighborhood, what's going on, and that's so still good to know what's going on. I don't know, well, what I was surprised to find is how many, how they take advantage of Medicare with this. A lot of these people set up these group homes in your neighborhood. You don't even know they're there, and they're drawing checks of $2,000 or $3,000. And the people that own the house are the ones that are coming out on this, and we're paying for it. And I understand that. Well, I need to find one deal, but anyway, let me see here if I could find that real quick. But anyway, the I guess
sure,
I want to get on about.
Just to talk real quick, I know one of the things whenever you talked about this podcast was coming up and this was the issue we were going to be doing this on, is that I found out that group homes usually qualify as a community home in Texas under Chapter 123 of the Texas Human Resources Code. And basically the use of this home is something that cannot be restricted by the city or any private deed restriction. If the resident doesn't qualify as a community home, the city may be able to restrict or prohibit the use of the resident as a group home, but would need to craft basically an ordinance that would help to show that it was not violating state or federal law, basically meaning that they could say if there was 6 residents, there could only be 2 caregivers that were in there. If there was any more than that, then that would be a violation of what the code would be, is something I was able to find with that. Were you able to find your information, Bob?
Yeah, I'm trying to open it up on Words here real quick, helping it up, and I wanted to put in what one of the, from a James Taylor that put this on, I don't know if he likes me to put his name out there or not, but he lives in Lowry Park, and he said he's not a real big fan of daybreak community homes, even though there's daybreak homes, they're not supposed to be at 24 hours, but he says they stay there overnight anyway, that comes out, and I was trying to go down on, he gave me quite a bit of information here about the daybreak facilities make their profits off your taxes via Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare. The facility will not, okay, it says also the daybreak facilities will not purchase the properties because they would lose their tax write-off. So apparently, unless in their profits, I would not, you can see why I'm not the host if anybody's listening. But I would not want my relatives, he says here, to be taken care of in them anyway, is what he says here too. And that the a lot of these people make their money off of the just go ahead. Go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the major problems with all this stuff is that one of these homes that does qualify under this Texas Code of Chapter 123 is basically protected by federal and state laws against any restrictions against the use, including city ordinances and private deed restrictions that could be there on this. So also, too, you've got to look at this as when it comes into the federal thing is you've got the fair housing rights that you have to deal with and everything. I can understand where people could be frustrated with this and something that would be coming into their communities that they could see as a problem. But it seems to me a lot of times, too, when we see people, they want the law to work for them when they need it to work for them. But a lot of times when it goes against them, they don't want to work with it, if you could understand where I'm coming from on that, Mom.
Well, that is true, 100%. That is when it works for them, they're for it. And when they don't, they're not for it. So, yeah, that is true. And you really have done your homework here on this. James, looking at some of this information here, applying more to what we got here. Like I said, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, for those people out there that really don't know what a group home or something of this nature is, a community home is another word that could be used for it, is they're basically homes that are for a person with a disability that is more specifically something that has to do with orthopedic, visual, speech, hearing impediments. It could be somebody that has Alzheimer's disease, pre-senile dementia, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, muscular dystrophy, sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied here, multiple sclerosis, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and intellectual disability, autism, and mental illness are some of those that are just listed on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, yeah. Well, the thing was here that really opened our eyes up, or what had us do this weekend, was the at the corner of John T. Watt Road and Williams Road, they got to sign up for a zoning change, and what they were asking to be changed for was a church. But when you look in the zoning change under UR or whatever it was it's going to, there's several things it could be when you change it from it's neighborhood commercial, I think, right now. And what it would have gone to was for several things in that. And one of the things underneath it was not only churches, event center, whatever, was group homes was in there. And I saw that, and when we contacted them, or actually the owner of the property called me. And because I had a sign, I have my own sign machine. I put my own signs for zoning because for 8 years our city don't put up signs anymore in my area for zoning. So I bought a machine. I put my own zoning signs up. Now they're starting to put them up a little bit. But anyway, I had signs up on his property, my phone number, website. And anyway, I got a call from the owner asking me to take down the signs. And I stressed to him that that's not a very good neighborly thing if you don't want people to know what's going there. And I suggested he might go to my website because all I did was copy and paste what was on the city website for what that change is going to be. But anyway, he wanted my signs down. But I asked him, I had a chance for him to call me. I said, what's going there? He said, a church. And I told him, I said, well, look, we won't have no problem if it's not going to be if we can amend group homes in this. We just want to amend that out, group homes, and it'll be fine. And he was worried about him pulling out if he did that. So, I mean, actually, it looked like they were just going to go under the name church to be a group home. And it'd been over 10,000 square feet. And I don't know what the difference is when a church does group homing and a private residence. But whatever, it's going to be over 10,000 square feet. And it looks like the main reasoning for this church was only to be a group home. I guess so they can get those government funds to make it run. I guess that's the key thing. That's what they're after, is the government funds. So, I mean, if it was going to be a real church working for religious and to help people, I think mending out group home would not have been a hard thing for them to do. You know, they would have went ahead. But it looks like they're going to pull out, I think. But anyway, that's what, you know, and by putting it up and then putting it on Nextdoor about this, and then we got some responses back about it, and I started learning some more things. I had no idea anything about group homes myself. I didn't know anything. So it was educational to me, and that's one reason I put it on here. Also, I meant to put it out there. I put it on. If anybody knew anything about it, and are about group homes more that we didn't know whatever to call in and share. Not only that we want to be an information, but I like learning too as well. We'd be willing to take in information to share that if we're not covering or whatever. But, you know, but anyway, that was it. And I thought we'd throw it on here tonight and see if we got any responses, if anybody was had anything to say about group homes much or anything. Let me check over here, James, on the page. I can see if anybody is tapping in on us.
Again, if you want to call into the show, the number is going to be 515-602-9610. You can press 1 to get into queue. Just to talk about a few things that the city can do in regards to these community homes or group homes with inside our communities is the city has the ability to make an ordinance that can define a group home, what it is. There's a few broad categories that they could go with on this. They could limit how many people unrelated are able to live there. They could say who lives there, persons with disabilities, foster children, seniors, whatever group of people wants to live there. Other things an ordinance could do is they could dictate who operates the facility, what services are provided at this facility, and under which statute provisions it qualifies or does not qualify. So those are a few things that you could go to your city council representative and ask them to try to do to help alleviate the situation if you believe it's a problem inside of your community. Bob, do we have anybody on the line right now?
No one in there, James. They might be pretty divid, just the this. But, you know, some people do go to these podcasts and listen to them, so I think you laid out some really great information on that, just in case anybody does go back and listen to the podcast to catch up to see what was said tonight. So I think that's good. If you want to, we can move on to we can move on a little bit about Carlos, who's coming up on our show next week, if you like. Or do you have anything else you'd like to
absolutely. No, we can talk about the next few weeks we have coming up. I know we're excited next week to have on Carlos Torres, I believe is his last name, who is doing the March Against Critical Race Theory that's going to take place on June 22nd at 4 p.m. The gathering spot for this march will be at the Fort Worth Firefighter and Police Memorial in Trinity Park right off West 7th Street. I believe this is being done, if my research is correct, before a critical Fort Worth ISD meeting that's going to take place that evening. Is that correct, Bob, or do you have more
information
correct. On
that? That is correct. That's correct, and he's saying please call to the sign-up to do the public comments. And the number for the school board here where you call would be 817-814-1956. Amanda Coleman, I think it's Amanda Coleman, is a Fort Worth ISD there. That's who you'd talk to, and let's see, what's he asking you to say? They'll say no to the critical race theory, okay? That's what he's saying. So I guess that's what, and like you said, this deal's on June the 22nd. And once again, there's number 817-814-1956. He's asking people to call in. He's also asking people to join us in the park. I'll be there on the 22nd. And also he has a guest speaker on. Let's see. Why can't I find the name of the guest speaker here? Now, do you know who that was? Okay, here it is. Okay. Kelly Burke, B-U-R-K-E, a community activist and a businessman will be the speaker for the event. And it looks like Kelly's a very known activist in the city. And so he'll be on hand. I'm sure he has something interesting to say. So he'll be on hand, and we'll have Carlos on next week to talk about this a couple of days before. We'll be on the 20th. He'll be here on the 20th with us, and he can give us some more about what's going on the race. I asked him how many people he's looking for, 200 to show up, so we'll see. I know if there is 200, it might be 201 because I'm definitely going to be there. And then,
well, I know you were able to have a good conversation with him this week about the upcoming March and his participation in the podcast next week. You just want to talk a little bit about the excitement that he talked about with you in this upcoming event?
Oh, yeah. This guy is he's very spot on, too. He is very spot on what's going on in our government. He's talking about not only after we, elect our council members and stuff, that we also need to stay engaged to monitor them. A lot of people go to the polls, they vote, and they go home, and they think they've done their job, and that's it. And actually, it's more or less kind of the beginning. We do still have to monitor and exercise our rights and work our council members to be in part of this to run our system right. Because what happens if we don't monitor or stay in or exercise our rights, they exercise their rights and they run it. And that's where our cities became a block over the year. We work for them and they don't work for us. So we're trying to turn that tide, and Carlos is very much spot on about that. And he's new into a lot of this, getting to know things, and he seems very energetic and very excited to help work with changing our moral values and the way things are done in the city. It's what we need to do. We need more on ethics and right now than we do anything. We need the same thing he agreed with. No one returns calls from our city and that. So, I enjoyed the conversation with him very much there, and I'm glad to have him on next week and that.
I'm excited to talk to him and see what he has to say for us. I also know, too, back by popular demand, on the 27th for that podcast, I believe you said we're going to have Jerry from the Fort Worth Water Department to come back on to answer questions. And I believe you also have some information that has been given to you that you're going to share with the people on that day.
Yeah, we got some things. When Jerry came on, that was great, and he came on. He got hit a little bit by some people. They're really upset about their water bills and overcharge. And I just got an email in a while ago from another girl that was on the show last time. She gave me an update, some information here about North Richland Hills, how they are. Well, Courtney, I hadn't had a chance to recheck what she got, though, yet, so I really don't like to. I kind of like to confirm where they got the information and see what before I run too much with it. But on our last show.
No, I understand
show,
that.
I
think we could just break that to the people on the 27th when we have Jerry on.
Yeah,
I wasn't asking you
okay,
to go through it, disseminate it tonight.
Yeah. But there's some things we can debunk that were coming out, like the radioactive or the radio waves that were coming off the meters, like off the everybody's worried about those, whether you're getting cancer or illness. Same thing with the our Encore meters and the that. But turns to find out that they're not as bad on the water. It was the one woman that called in last time called me back and corrected what she said. She was getting reports how bad it was, but it was wrong. It was the Encore meters that were putting out those high numbers that she had. It was not the water meter, the waters. And the waters are down in the ground, so they're not as bad. So anyway, I'm glad to have Jerry on to kind of help, because I can't thank Jerry enough, being almost the only person out of our city that will come on the show. He's on the second time. You call for anybody from code compliance, they won't come on. You call from almost any department, and it's hard to get anybody to come on from our city. And this is what we're talking about, trying to change the way our city works. You know, even when we have what you call community engagement, and they won't engage back. I can't get no response from community engagement. So I'm anxious for city council to get started with our new council members, our mayor, and see about going in front of them. If we can't start rocking this boat and get some things changed where these people start giving us some respect. There is no respect when community engagement will not return a call. The director, Michelle Gubb, or however her name is, I've called her and talked, and she will not return any calls. And she's the one that was supposed to help us out with some information on the bond coming up. That's what we're trying to get, some more information on the bond and trying to get involved early on the bond stuff to get us engaged there. And she was my contact, but she doesn't seem to want to contact with us. So, but anyway, like I said, I'm anxious to our new city council next Tuesday night. I'm anxious to go down and spread some of this information. We got new members in there. Some of them don't even know what's going on in the city. And kind of a bad thing. A lot of these people up there are going to be our new council members. So they probably never even attended a council meeting. And, except for Chris. Now, I'm pleased with Chris, definitely. That's the way I'd want to elect my council members or for mayor, as someone that's been engaged. Chris Nettles in District 8, he ran for mayor 2 terms ago, and he was involved at council meetings. I sent him at other meetings in the public. He ran again for District 8. And he got within 500 votes, and he ran this time, and he won it in a runoff. So he worked at it. It wasn't just handed to him. He didn't just show up at election time, say, here I am, put me in office. I mean, he's been working at it. So I got to give Chris a lot of credit and how he did it, and that's why I'd like for us to get more of our elected officials, people that are engaged. They're at these bond meetings, at the redistricting meeting, that are downtown sometimes, not just during election time, but we'll see what we got, and we'll see how it comes out. So hopefully, and we hope that that the trend will break here a little bit, because it never seems to fail that they're one way on this side of the fence, but after they get elected, they become differently. And either the power or something goes to their head, and it's just and they get something they don't want to give up, and they compromise their moral values to keep it. And that, so I'm hoping that Chris will hold true and be helpful, because that's what we need to get back in our council. We need to get people in there that realize that being a mayor and a council is not that big of a thing. We let it be on too big of a pedestal. That's it. Council members are here to serve us. They work for us. They're supposed to serve. And we put them up. They put themselves on pedestals like little gods or something, and have become disrespectful to the public. And this kind of stuff we need to try to get out. And that's what we're trying to do here with voter education too. And that's why I'm putting on this program, to help try to share information. And that's how we can, one way, you know, from a lack of knowledge is how you lose battles. So we're trying to share it out there. And that, but anyway, like I say, there's not, you know, I'm looking forward to next week and the week after that, and there'll be a few spots along the way here that we may just have topics. Usually topics won't draw too much of a crowd, apparently, unless it's a real hot topic or something. Well, who knows, you know, come across one real hot, but usually a real hot topic, usually you have speakers too. But anyway, to fill in, I'm going to try to get it filled up where we have guests every show, and we'll work on trying to get this thing going better here. James, I don't know. Like I say, with the topic tonight, people do go back to the podcast sometimes to look at, and you gave them a lot of information on the group homes, and I don't want to wear you out. I know you're working hard and that, and I want your time to be used by, in a productive way and not wasted on time that's just trying to burn time, you know. There's no sense wearing you out, just trying to burn time. And of course, now if we're on payroll, I'd have no problem at all being here for the full hour. But we're not on payroll. We're volunteering, we're working, and we're just doing this for the, you know, the good. So, but James, if you want to, we can call it an early night, unless you have something else to talk about, or if you want to carry it further. I'm going to leave the ball in your court here. Or did I lose you? Let's go over here to the studio. I might have lost James already. Well, let's see.
How you doing, Bob? I'm back.
James, you back on there? Did I lose you, huh?
I'm back on there. No, you're fine. We're
okay.
Good. I just I wanted to ask you something before we got out of here.
Okay.
Just for the people out there that might want to know that weren't able to attend the city council meeting last week. With this being the last city council meeting of the council that was in there and a lot of new faces coming in, was there a different atmosphere inside the city council chambers at all last week? What was that atmosphere like?
Well, I guess. Well, you had a lot of the insiders there that were, you know, the mayors and the council members there, and then the new ones to see. So mainly it's family and friends there is what it was, basically. And there were still some, you know, people like me there, whatever, which that, but the atmosphere was, I guess, pretty much. You know, when I do, James, and I get there, I usually spend a lot of time in the hallway. I don't really go in there that much, or I go to the overflow room. I don't, I just can't sit in there and watch after so long. I tell you, when my council member speaks, I start looking for that little bag that you look for behind the seat on the airplane when you get ill. I mean, and there ain't one behind the seat in the council, and some of the stuff I hear them say when I know it's not true, or when they're getting complimented and stuff, and I know what they've done here, some of the stuff they did. But it was mainly just family and that there, and friends there. So, yeah, it was a different kind of crowd. It wasn't like your, you know, it was kind of like a little party for them to exchange places there and out, and which is kind of good, because these people don't see a lot of stuff that's going on. These are the kind of people I'm trying to at least expose what's going on. So my video was, I played for about code compliance, and I did get to improve the video some from the time I sent it out. It wasn't very clear, but I made some changes on it for city council to make it more understandable and clearer with the about our code compliance and that. So, but for what good it did, I don't know with them. But yeah. Anyway, we'll see, and then we'll see what kind of, you know, it's hard to say how much different the crowd was or what. It was pretty much just, like I say, it was family and friends. So it was more or less to be what it expected to be, I guess. I'll put it that way, kind of like. And so, and because.
All right. Just to let everybody know before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody that we will have Carlos Torcios on next week, who is one of the organizers for the March Against Critical Race Theory that will be taking place in Fort Worth on June 22nd, 2021. And then on the 27th, our podcast, backed by popular demand, we'll have Jerry from the Water Department taking more of your questions. Bob, I guess that's going to be it for me tonight. I just want to say God bless each and every one of you in the great city of Fort Worth, and I look forward to talking to you later this week and the podcast next weekend.
Thank you very much, James. You do a great job, and I'm looking forward to having him on, and we'll do a full show next week. And I'm working on it, see if I can't feel it. Oh, yeah, James, I'm talking about your friend, your doctor?
Dr. Fortner, yes, sir.
Yes, yes. Can he come on sometimes in July or something maybe? Can you check with him and see if he can get him back?
Absolutely. I talked to him just yesterday, and he said he'd be glad to come back on whenever we needed him.
Well, ask him what's convenient. Any day in July, give us a date there in July that's convenient for him. We'll work with that, and I'd like to put it on there so we can start promoting him too, okay? That'd be great.
Okay.
And we got Mr. Moon coming up in August, and then I'm asking for Mike Crane, which is in District 3, council member, to come in September. But we'll see. We'll narrow down dates there. But, yeah, check with him if he can come on, and we'll advertise it, okay? And James,
okay.
You take care. Thanks a lot for your help.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.